Good morning. I'm David Ellis, and I welcome you to this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's the 10th day of January 2020. I'll be with you up until 2 o'clock today, so call us at the usual number, 4341790. And you can also send us your WhatsApp messages as well. I find that that is perhaps easier to deal with these days than going to the email address. But if you want to send emails to us, it's brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. The WhatsApp number is 266-4862. I have a couple of things to share with you, but I'll do so along the way. Today, I'm going to come straight to the telephone line to let that first caller attempt to set the pace. Hello?
Hello, David.
Yes, morning.
Morning. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Could you tell me how many of the moderators on Brass Tacks are members of the BLP or
BLP. The Barbados Labour Party. Well,
yes.
First of all, I don't know that any of them are members of any political party. The truth of the matter is that when we employ people to work in Brass Tacks or any other project here on the air, the first item on the agenda certainly is not a person's political persuasion. All we expect of people who work here is that when you come on the air, you follow the rules of balance and fairness. And if you have a difficulty following that particular rule, well, we will remind you that that's where we stand. And ultimately, if you don't want to follow that rule, the station will have to determine, when it looks at all the factors, whether it wants to continue working with you in that capacity.
Right. So how many are employed by the government? How many are
moderators? As I understand it, there were two people who have indicated to me that since the government changed, that they have been given, they or companies associated with which they are associated, have been given contracts to do specific work for the government. That's as far as I know. My position on it is simply what I outlined to you earlier. I expect that where individuals may consider that there is a conflict of interest situation, that they will declare that conflict of interest. And as much as possible, we will work with them to avoid conflicts of interest.
So how objective do you think those two individuals can be?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that those persons are in a situation where they interact with you. Balance is not attained on one side alone. You can have a person who has no such connection whatsoever, but can come and sit down on a call-in program and take a consistent line in favor of one party or one person. And I'm sure that listening to call-in programs over the years, you have found situations like that, where people were not associated with any project or they had no contract to do anything for the government, but they still followed a line that was consistently pro-government. So my argument to you is you got to judge a person on merit. And I think those people who find themselves in that situation know full well that it is expected that they will be taking a line that is fair and balanced. Now, you as a caller, you are a listener, you're in a position to call them out whenever you believe that they have gone too far east or too far west. You do it with people like me. I mean, sitting here, I have no government contract, but from time to time, I too get criticism from people that I've taken a consistently pro-BLP or pro-DLP line. That goes with the territory.
But the complaints that you have been receiving from callers and listeners, what is your stance on it as the manager?
Well, I don't hear all of these complaints. You may be hearing them on the air from people who, when you look at them, to a large extent, many of the people who make those complaints are recognized to follow a particular political line as well. I have to listen to them, and I also have to listen to other voices. I must tell you that off the air, I am not getting those complaints either. Okay?
So what? So you don't have any stance?
Remember, I've told you what my stance is already. My stance is, as I have outlined it to you, I expect that the people who work here, whether you work as a moderator or a news reporter or an announcer, that you will follow the professional line. A doctor is expected to be professional with you, whether he likes you or not. A lawyer is expected to be able to sit in Parliament and pass legislation. And when he leaves the Parliament, or if he sits on the backbench, he is supposed to be capable of going to take action against the very legislation that he helped to formulate. And that is supposed to be acceptable. You all live with that. But you want to tell me that nobody else in this country can take a professional line? Well, if as far as I'm concerned, that's a conflict of interest. But because this society doesn't say so, you live with it and you encourage it. Okay?
Okay, David.
All right, thank you. Down to brass tacks.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
I can support you a little bit. Clearly, the caller was talking about John. He actually mentioned the number two on Corinne. I want to remind the caller that you had three moderators who went on to become ministers under the DLP. So I don't see what he's trying to do. And I find Corey and Joanne to be very fair. They're not perfect. None of us are. So this is a big deal. You're trying to bring politics into everything. Why? We should do not try to make a balance. Talk about the three people who used to moderate at VRB who went on, because often VRB is accused of being a DLP station, who went on to become government ministers under the Democratic Labour Party. I would like to call back and respond to that.
I really hope not, though.
Why not?
Because I don't feel that this is what we're going to spend the whole day talking about.
No, we're going to spend the whole day. But he should be fair. Now, some time ago, I had a concern about a year or two ago. This may not be relevant to you because this is going into a domain, because I never really talk about music yet, that you wouldn't understand. I'm talking about Goldie. Goldie's not, because the only music that exists in this rap class is back on Bob Marley. I spoke about Bob Marley and his coming to Barbados. Mark Rainey said it was the contract that Marty had written out that caused them not to come. I have a question for Mark, and I hope he responds. How come this contract wasn't recognized? A man who, when he wanted to go to Zimbabwe, when he was invited to Zimbabwe to perform at their independence, when the Zimbabwe government can afford it, Marty pulled his pocket and had all his equipment airlift from London to Zimbabwe. How come a man who was so intent of spreading his word would not have agreed to any contract? I read, and then when Mark can come and tell me he can left it there. Mark is a man who don't left nothing over. He's all this fight. So I want to know how come he went into a shell. And they really want him to respond. Now, last thing. Men in Barbados is severely disadvantaged by the legal system. I find that women, when it comes to a lot of things concerning child support, women win. I'm going to go into the details because this is something that may end up before the law court. The men's group needs to fight harder on behalf of our men. You just can't come on the radio once every 6 months and say something. You need to go up from district to district and keep on talking to men and try to rein them in, encourage them to come and speak out. Because if men are going to suffer in silence because of something called a male ego, nothing is going to change. It will always look as though men are the villains. Women at the end, speak out. I don't have anyone to challenge them. We as men have to speak out. We have to forget pride and ego. Have a nice weekend, David.
Thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Mr. Silas?
Yes.
Blessed be my brother.
Why are you crying?
Well, I am calling you from my hospital bed. I'm trying my best to remain as composed as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
I have been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And it is unlikely that I will survive to call this program again.
Because of your current state, it is difficult for me to identify you as a regular caller. Who are you? As a caller, you're the one who...
I usually begin all of my calls by saying, blessed be my brother.
Oh, my goodness. Rashid?
Yes, it is, David.
From down in Westbury Road?
Correct.
Well, you really...
I do what I imagine.
You really shock a lot of us this morning. I'm sorry to hear this.
I appreciate your sentiment. But the call-in program has become like a family unto me. And I thought it only prudent to make the effort to make this call. But I have to tell you, right now I feel like my own body has become my own house of exile. And that's putting it mildly. I expect that I wouldn't be on this plane of existence in the next 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very fortunate.
Okay.
If I can survive up to 7 months, because the published data suggests that as long as it reaches stage 4, and it has already begun to cross from my left lung, to my liver, which is the nearest other organ next to it.
Okay.
And that in itself has its almost irreversible consequences. So I wanted to seize this moment. Now that I'm in not much pain because I've just had some painkillers. So, well, I don't have to say bid my calling family farewell. But to let them know that I appreciate the times when they've gathered me under the boughs of their love. And there are many of them that I can't recall or to call by name, but I deeply appreciate it.
Okay. Can I ask you a couple of questions? First of all,
I will try to respond as
okay.
I can.
Okay. How long has this battle been going on?
Well, I've been in the hospital since the 3rd of December.
Since the 3rd of December?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, you have made quite a significant contribution to this call-in program. And first of all, it is the way that you express yourself, the language, your use of the language, has always been impeccable, as far as I'm concerned. But more than that, you have been driven to highlight what you've seen as challenges within the society. your own background is significant because you have had a long association with the literary arts. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it is interesting that you should cite my involvement in literary arts because that really began Chul Avenue of the Community Development Department. When NIFCA first came up, I think it was 1973. And there was an officer there, Gordon Warden, who thought that he came to a lot of the community centers and tried to persuade people to become involved, and that's how he became involved. But the credit with regards to, I mean, one must admit, even modestly, that I do enjoy some facility with language. And that actually, the credit for that and the accolade really belong to Mr. Howard, the late Mr. Howard Wharton, who taught at both Bessie Hall and Combermere. And I owe his spirit an eternal credit for how he was able to impart not only the use of language to me, but the ability to bring language alive, because he hated the use of the cliché and he celebrated the use of the metaphor. And that has dominated my expression of language and, like some people say, my ability to bring it alive.
Yes.
But one of the reasons too why I made this call is because I know a lot of people have been worried. A lot of people have been reaching out to me and they have been asking after me. And the fact that my inevitable demise will be a significant loss to the program. And just to think that alone is an invaluable accolade to me. And it brings me a sense of having contributed, a sense of having given to myself, to my nation.
Where are you spiritually now?
Spiritually, I'm in a place of great comfort and relaxation. And I'll say how I achieve that, to have a place of residence in an atmosphere of comfort. I must admit to you, as anyone else would be, that I was consumed at first when I learned about my condition. I was consumed by an element of fear. But what I did is that I went on the internet and I investigated as much as I could about my own circumstance. And what I have discovered is that nothing dispels fear and displaces it permanently like the acquisition of knowledge. And that is the pathway that I have chosen, to the point that I have been able to follow every step of my treatment so far, and all the treatment I've received has paralleled the published data. And in this circumstance, I am my own agency of destruction, because I have smoked for a number of years. Okay. And maybe I should seize this moment to urge young people that if there are smokers now, to do their best to cease and desist from the practice. Because it is said that if you use cigarettes the way the manufacturer intends, it will kill you eventually. And so I am not in a process of blaming anybody. I am in a good place spiritually. There are a lot of people that I strongly believe that there's a meaningful existence, because there must be an existence outside the body. Things like imagination and thought cannot be confined by the physical space called the body. And there are people like Earl Warner, Richard Springer, and a host of others that I really am looking forward to meeting and interacting with on the other side. And I am sure that quite a few of them will be there to help me cross the Rubicon in as easy and as simple a way as possible. So I have already conditioned myself to walk towards the light. You will recall that that's one of the ways that Jesus described himself, the way, the truth, and the light. So for those who have read certain books, as I have, it is a lot easier being prepared for the process and for the transition.
Your greatest achievement so far?
To be able to interact with some other patients who have their own anxieties. And fortunately, and I do consider it an immense fortune, I've been able to interact with quite a few medical students here from the University of West Indies. And some of them find some difficulty in understanding how I could be in such a psychological place considering my own circumstance. And some of them have been examining me, what have you. And I told them it is a privilege to play a part in their future medical development. So I don't feel like a guinea pig. I feel honored that some of these students will go on, who knows, in 20 years from now, just to save lives, people maybe lies who suffer the same fate that I do now.
Rashid, you have spent a lot of time looking at the society and where it is going. In that context, therefore, what's your wish for Barbados?
It is difficult to respond to that question without giving it some political tenor. And I feel convinced that the current Prime Minister, Ms. Mia Amor-Motley, I think she's determined to leave a legacy behind, and she's determined to build on the legacy in helping poor people that her grandfather would have established in this city. And that in itself inspires me. But now, it may seem like an aside, but let me go on another tentacle of concern. I am very concerned that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital really can use all the help it can get. It is amazing the things that they have in short of, things like commodes and what have you. And if I were in a financial enough position, I would dedicate a great percentage of my resources to assisting the hospital. These people work very hard. Another thing I'd like to mention, on the graveyard shift at the hospital, especially on my ward, B7, I can speak with some authority on that experience. There are a maximum of three to four people. Very seldom, but 3 to 4 people. And they don't have access to dinner. So I am wondering if some of the restaurants and the fast food places who obviously have an excess and would have waste at night, if they can put together a snack for the nurses. And it does not only have to be confined to Ward B7, for nurses generally who work the graveyard shift, because I am absolutely certain that that will be definitely appreciated. I have seen people here go above and beyond. I have seen people here work double shifts without knowing that they will have to do it. I mean, sometimes I feel as though they have urged me and let me know I am not a burden on them, but it is difficult not to think that way, you know, because they are human too. And I have received human service, and I've seen an aspect of humanity that has touched me to the core. And on that note, let me say too that I had the former West Indies selector caught the round and a bed next to me when he first came in after that horrific accident. And he has been a remarkable inspiration to me, because though his conversation wasn't meant for my ears, and he and I and his family have discussed this, so I can repeat it, he was so concerned about the victim of that accident's family. And he was consumed with the way to reach out and to let them know that, you know, he I mean, it was remarkable that he mourned the loss with them. And this is a man that was hit in traction, in steel traction, that could hardly move. And his concern was for the family of the victims of the accident.
Our concern is also for you, and in the what you see as the limited time that you have available. You've made your contribution as best as you could. So, from you, how can we help you in the time that is left?
I think that having the program as an avenue to reach out and share my views and my thoughts in the interest of my own country has been invaluable to me. And what I would want, the way that the call-in program and the country can help me now in this moment of presumed darkness is for Bajans, not only in this year of 2020 gathering, but to try to find some personal expression for loving Barbados. The way that Barbadians litter this country is an immense pain to me. It is almost as though the national anthem means nothing to them. I don't know if it's because in the lyrics of the national anthem, it does not mention the name Barbados, nor does it mention the people. And I want to go on the ward at NIFCA in a point for mentioning that circumstance alone. But I'd like to see Bajans develop a love and a pride for this little country. It is all we have. It can be destroyed tomorrow in some climatic event. And I'd like to see us really try and take care of it.
Do you remember that poem now?
It's not in my immediate recall to say that I can recite it. Understood. On the radio.
Understood. Ah, finally, and where can we find you in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital?
I am on Ward B7 in Midtown. And let me seize the moment. It would be remiss of me not to reach out to Dennis Johnson. He has been a pillar of strength to so many people and in so many ways that I know he does not realize it. There's a unique, humane touch to the man that rakes you to the core and makes you question your own humanity. And I think it is based on his personal experience. He's a remarkable human being. And then the time comes that he also has to make his transition and to cross the Rubicon. I hope I'll be privileged among the gathering that is there to welcome him over. A remarkable human that has made a significant impression on my life.
No, Rashi, sorry.
Yes, sir.
You were saying.
I've also enjoyed my interaction with Peter Wickham, albeit that he's not a Commemorian, as well as Lisa Gale. And I think that if they pay a lot more attention to the way you, the legendary Larry King, and Mr. Johnson, handle callers and try to get into the essence of what a caller is feeling as it speaks to them, I think will augur well for their development, not only as calling program hosts, but as social commentators generally.
Well, I want to say to you, Rashid Foster, that when we are dealing with broadcasting, we are always encouraged to focus on the element of surprise. As broadcasters, we are supposed to know what is coming, but you are the ones who are supposed to be surprised. This morning, you have turned the tables on me, and I want to tell you this has been a most touching and difficult call. Of all the calls that I have had on this program, this one has been my most difficult. I have people here who are also on the WhatsApp chat who are sharing this experience with us, and I'm sure there are many listeners who are going through this with a great degree of difficulty, but I want to say to you that in the time that you have, we wish you peace. We wish you comfort. We wish you well.
I really appreciate that. I know it doesn't come from you alone. I know you speak on behalf of the entire calling family. And the sentiment.
Thank you
really
very much.
Impresses me. Thank you.
Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
Morning, Glenn Maurice.
Yes, Glenn, morning.
Happy New Year to you.
And the same to you and yours.
Thank you. Some weeks ago when you conducted an interview on a Sunday with the family from Christchurch, the young ladies who were going to school, the mother was having difficulties, the way you were able to draw out that family and to get the human interest side of their experiences, I thought was enthralling. But I think you've outdone yourself this morning with Rashid. And I also want to join you in expressing my support for him at this stage, and not only to commend you, but to commend him. And as a matter of fact, he crossed my mind about 2 days ago. I say I had not heard him on the air for quite some time. And now, lo and behold, the revelation that he's made, I thought was really, really shattering to me. Because I know him personally as an individual, and I'd like, on behalf of the CM, I'm the first person to react to his call on behalf of the Conway Mayor family. Say up and on and up and on and up and on. Keep the flame burning, however. I really meant to call about to take up your point about professionalism and the queries read about some of your moderators.
Yes.
That was my intent to call, but then I was getting a lot of the wind in St. George is very, very strong today, so I'm getting a lot of interference. So I wasn't sure about it.
The wind across the country is very, very strong.
And so I'm not sure if the court.
Take into consideration the warning that has come from the Met Office about bathing at sea, because we are told that we should not be bathing at sea for some days because the seas are very rough and the tide is high. So it's all related.
Yeah, but before I go back to Rashid quickly, he said he has stage 4 cancer, but I've known other persons who have survived. It probably depends on the peculiarity of his case, but I would like to think that all possibilities have not been exhausted yet, even in his mind, and that he might still be able to be with us for some time thereafter. But, the question of professionalism, like you quite rightly said regarding lawyers and doctors, and I like to add to accountants and mechanics, anybody you can interact with, when you go to them, you expect to be given professional treatment from those persons. And that has to do with a principle which is known as compartmentalization of roles, where you are able to separate yourself from your politics, from your religion, from whatever, and do from your sporting organization, and provide the utmost possible service to the person as a professional. Lawyers, you made the example of the lawyers passing legislation in the House of Assembly, them being, how they're being part of this passage, then go on and oppose it. Oh, that's because they have a commitment to their client first. Client must always be given the best possible service from a lawyer, and the same thing applies to doctors and accountants and whatever. So it is very possible for persons to put aside any religious, political, racial, whatever views or feelings they may have about persons or situations, and by resorting to the utmost professionalism, render themselves acceptable and do a first-class job. Because I know myself, I had that initial problem, so to speak, from people's perception when I first began as a moderator. They thought it was going to be a BLP supporter and et cetera. Because once you are before the air, you forget your dislikes, your likes, and you stick to what persons say or what they do. I never refer to a person's behavior. I never refer to a person, attribute to a person's motives to a person because I'm dealing with the person's behavior, their action, or their words. And once all the moderators adhere to those principles of the professionalism, the standard, they have you like as examples of that, I don't think they have to worry about them. So I don't think the staff has to worry about them.
Well, I think there's a very simple principle, and it is this. If I take a position against someone or an entity, I must allow that person or that entity to counter what I have said. If you have anyone sitting in this kind of position who believes that their view is the only view that should prevail, then that is the wrong way to do it. The balance must be sought. And you know, you are entitled, and I am entitled, to give my point of view on anything, as long as it is, you know, within the realms of what the law permits. And then you can see whether there is balance or not, depending upon how I handle callers who have a different view. And it's as simple as that. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, all right? Part of the problem, too, is that in psychology, something known as projection. And I find that callers, most people, see people and situations from their perspective and do what they say, called project onto persons or situations their own personal standards and what they would have done, those and then accuse the persons of behaving that way because that is the way they perceive and project onto them. So I just thought I'd join you in that and express my best wishes, too, for Rashi.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
You know, you are so outstanding. Beyond this of a relationship there with me, but I just like to speak in a positive manner. And I hope, it is only yesterday and day before I was discussing with some fellas, and I said to them, I have lived among many leaders, speak to nearly all the leaders. I spoke to them personally. And then I end up and said, you know, all that people do, all of us are equal. Even the doctors that we go to have better health, they reach a stage that they have to go. And I this morning, send my sympathy to Rashid. And David, you are, and I probably going into that zone where you have to look back and see the contributors. We had Dr. Haynes, we had David Thompson, both the rich and the poor reach that end. And we have to prepare ourselves. Now, let me get on to what you open up your remark. And let me say this openly to you, David. Last night, I made a decision in my life. It could be changed. That I would only call two moderators at your radio station. That is yourself and Peter Wickham.
Well, I really thought you said you were going to tell me that you were going last night you decided to give your life to Christ.
But I don't have to go to church.
I didn't say that I had to go to church.
But David, everybody knows that when you and I is on this radio, though it may be seems as though we are arguing, we always end as we are friendly, but we are discussing matters. And I would say this to you, because I was following you in your early days of journalism, and you haven't changed. You take a stand. And I hope the others who are moderating, I heard P just now, said just now to you, that there were members of GOB as moderators who went on, listen to the term, who went on to take government positions. The difference between went on and on is two different things. And you know your English very well. And not as fair as you are. But I am certain went on to become somebody in a government and at present in government is two different things. You agree with me?
I accept that. I understand that difference.
Good. Now, you probably heard my contribution pertaining to the garbage trucks. And I said to the public then, and I was saying, oh, there's no quarrel with the garbage trucks. It's taxpayers' money. All we have to do is find out the cost and try and get the trucks ready. Now, I was listening with bated breath on the teachers' union pertaining to that registering the technology online registering. You know, people believe that Barbados only became Barbados 10 years ago and the 2 years now. 10 years in the DFP, 2 years now. And they fail to remember. We had the taxpayers. I don't know if it was a loan, if it came from the Consolidated Fund. You remember we had EduTech that supposed to put all of the schools into a situation that they were going high-tech or whatever you would call it. And we don't know to this day if that money was paid back, if it was a loan or what the case may be. And if these facilities are there in the schools, why teachers will have to object to having things online when you claim you'll be going in the technological age? EduTech costs this country a lot of money. And if it is set up, I don't know if all the schools have it, but we should investigate whether or not if the amount of money that was spent in EduTech could accommodate all the schools. And that's all I have to say this morning, David, because I prefer to listen, because I have made up in my mind I would only speak with two moderators, you, David Ellis, and Peter Wickham. The others, I finished with them. Yeah, thank you.
I can surprise you. Next time I come on, I'm going to use Lisa Gale's voice so that you would think that you were talking to her instead. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Special day to you. I must tell you that your pitch with Michael, because everybody know him as Rashid, but I don't know if you know that he was also known as Michael Foster, M-U-L. Michael, that was from his writing days. Now, he's one of the people that I had, I still have a lot of, and I hope he's listening, a lot of admiration for in terms of his passion for subjects and things that are really Barbadian. I'm saddened to the fact that I've been asking for him over a couple of weeks and I've been told, well, Michael, all right, but not knowing that Michael was really going through a medical transition as far as Queen Elizabeth Hospital is concerned. I know he was a sticker for articles written many, many years ago by Timothy Callender. And Michael, if you're listening, if somewhere along the line I can still provide those articles for you that you can get a little bit more inspiration, I'd be willing to provide them for you. These were articles written years ago that he became fascinated. He considered Timothy Callender as one of the better writers that Barbados have ever produced, short story writers. And I've had some dealings with Michael that I know the reason why I could call from the early days, from the days of his involvement as a writer, where he got involved in several things within the community, not only in the area of Westbury Road, which he can be called a Westbyterian, but he's always maintained his arguments to a particular level. And I'm saddened this morning when I hear that, you know, he's to the point that he has to reach out to explain to people what he's going through. And you did an excellent, David. I think that is for the archives. What you've done this morning really is for the archives in terms of the man Rashid, which we call Michael Foster. But I was called on another matter with Mr. T, but I respect Rashid so much that I would not even discuss the Mr. P issue right now, because I could hear Rashid saying to me, man, let them things fly, man.
Okay.
Let them fly.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Yes, welcome.
Let me wish you all the best for the new year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks. Now, David, I don't even know how to begin, because I had really planned. I get kind of emotional. I'll call you again.
Okay, understood. This is down to brass tacks. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this program progresses today. Because after a start like the one that we had, I am sure that many people who had other ideas have been somewhat derailed by the emotion and the dramatic intervention that we had from Rashid Foster this morning. But please do your best to stay on course, and we will all get through it together today. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Devastated shot. Be of good cheer, Rashid. I too was in worldly heaven. Not easy. A retina diagnosis. When it's revealed, you're somewhat shattered. Fortunately for me, in my plight, I still was not of the worst. But take solace. Try to speak to Antoine Williams, who would have been diagnosed stage 4 cancer. Experts came in and tried to restore him as best as can be, and he's up and moving. 45 persons as regarding such a devastating thing that could be trusted upon them. So I'm advising Mr. Williams to try and get in contact with Rashid and fortify him, reassure him. Stage 4, pretty serious. But as Mr. Glenn said, it does not say ultimate. It does not say conclusion of the matter.
What happened in your case?
I was hospitalized, ward B7, had to have some tests, then I had to wait the diagnosis. And as I've indicated, I was rather fortunate not to be at the worst end of the test.